Well, hello again. Great to be with you. One of the exciting things about having a new building like this to meet in and trying to work out fire exit signs and toilet signs and all that kind of practical stuff is yet that so far no one's thought about putting a clock up. So that's great. I've got no idea how long I'm going to sleep. Sounds good. Great. Hope you haven't got to be anywhere. Cool. So, hopefully you're going through the Psalms and looking at the names of God through the Psalms. Is that right?
Yes.
Great. I've understood correctly. And this morning then, I've been asked to look at God, my helper, from Psalm 54. So that's where we're going today. So if you've got your Bibles, or a Bible app, and I want to follow along, that's where we're going. But to understand Psalm 54, you have to take it back and go back to the story and look at the background story and the context in which this psalm was written. Okay, so we have to look at 1 Samuel chapter 23. Okay, so I'm just going to read this story to put this psalm into context. Starting at verse 15, it says, David saw that Saul had come out to seek his life. So there's the summary of this story, okay? That Saul is out to kill David. That's the context and the backstory of this psalm. David was in the wilderness of Ziph at Horesh, and Jonathan, Saul's son, rose and went to David at Horesh and strengthened his hand in God. And he said to him, "Do not fear, for the hand of Saul, my father, shall not find you. You shall be king over Israel. I shall be next to you. Saul, my father, also knows this." The two of them made a covenant before the Lord. David remained at Horesh. Jonathan went home. That's nice. Then the Ziphites. So David's gone to Ziph. The people who live there, the Ziphites. Then the Ziphites went up to Saul at Gibeah, saying, "Is not David hiding among us in the strongholds at Horesh?" I think it's the love stories with long names. Hopefully, forgive my pronunciation. On the hill of Hephali, which is south of Jeshimon. "Now come down, O king, according to all your heart's desire, to come down, and our part shall be surrendered him into the king's hand." And Saul said, "May you be blessed by the Lord, for you have had compassion on me. Go, make yet more sure, know and see the place where his foot is, and who has seen him there, for it is told me that he is very cunning." This is David he's talking about. "See, therefore, and take note of all the lurking places where he hides. Come back to me with sure information, then I will go with you. And if he is in the land, I will search him out among all the thousands of Judah." Judah's mentioned. That's important. Make note of that. And they arose and went to Ziph ahead of Saul. Now David's men were in the wilderness of Maon in the Arabah to the south of Jeshimon, and Saul and all his men went to seek him, and David was told. So he went down to the rock and lived in the wilderness of Maon. And when Saul heard that, he pursued after David in the wilderness of Maon. Saul went on one side of the mountain, David and his men on the other side of the mountain. And David was hurrying to get away from Saul. And dun, dun, dun. We'll pick up the story later. You get the idea of what's going on. Saul is out to seek David's life. The Ziphites are telling Saul where David is. Saul's chasing. There's this chase going on around the mountain. They're closing in on David. And somewhere in all this going on, David has the opportunity to write Psalm 54. So let's look at the psalm. It says this: "To the choir master with stringed instruments, a maskil of David." You know what maskil is? No. No. It's a teaching psalm. There's something to learn from this. Quite a few of the psalms called a Maskev teaching psalm. When the Ziphites, so here's the important bit. When the Ziphites went and told Saul, is not David hiding among us? We just read that. Okay, this is what this psalm is about. And straight away, David opens this song, this psalm, with a prayer. Oh God, save me by your name and vindicate me by your might. Oh God, hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. David's prayer to God, just crying out to him for God to come and rescue him. What's he doing? He's appealing to God's strength. Vindicate me by your might. He's appealing to the name of God. Save me by your name. That's the very reliance that David has on God in the midst of battle. Where do I turn? When my enemies are closing in around me, who do I turn to? I turn to God. I cry out to God. It's the cry of his heart. And he expects God to answer. Hear my prayer. Give ear to the words of my mouth. Comes with that expectation that as he cries out to God, God will hear. God will act. What's he crying out? Why is he crying out? Verse 3. For strangers have risen against me. Ruthless men seek my life. They do not set God before themselves. Who are these strangers that he's talking about? Well, it's the Ziphites. They've risen up against. Now, this whole thing about Judah and the thousands of Judah, what's that about? The Ziphites were a clan or a family associated with Caleb, from the lineage of Caleb from the lineage of Judah. David came from the lineage of Judah. These Ziphites are like distant cousins to David, their family. And yet they're the ones that have risen up against him. They become like strangers to him. Same tribe that David was descended from. They're like strangers now, and they're not doing as God commands them to do. They do not set God before them. They're not seeking God. They're going against David. They're betraying David to Saul. These strangers, these ruthless men, out to seek David's life along with Saul. And then in this psalm, we get this word, Selah. Do you know what Selah means? Kind of pause. Just wait. Oh, my God, reflect. This pause moment in the middle of the psalm. He's cried out to God. He's asked God for help. He's told him what the issue is. These men who are after his life, seeking his life, and he just pauses. I don't know what happened. He waited on God to hear God's voice. Perhaps God reminded him about who he is. And he makes this wonderful declaration. Behold, God is my helper. In the midst of the battle that's going on, it takes time just to pause and remember, remind himself, God is my helper. That's whose side I'm on. And I just love the way it phrases it, and I'm using the ESV translation. Behold. Something of seeing God with awe and majesty and wonder and splendor. Behold, God is my help. It's the declaration that David's making. God is, if David is for God, then God is for David, and God is fighting for him and will help him in such a way that he won't have to fear any power or enemy that is out to get him. It's a wonderful declaration. Behold, God is my helper. Now, for us in Western world, we perhaps think of helper in a different way, don't we? I mean, like, somebody's got tea and coffee, hopefully, ready for us later on. And, you know, getting tea and coffee ready is quite a straightforward task, and we can do that by ourselves, can't we? So I could do this, it might take me a bit long, I could do it all by myself. But actually, if you were to come and help me do this, we'd do it quicker. But actually, I can do this by myself. And that's often how we think of somebody who helps us. It's like, well, I can do this by myself. But this isn't the kind of help that David is after. This isn't that kind of, oh God, I need you to help me now to help me find a parking space. It's not that kind of help. When David's crying out to God and coming to God and declaring, God is my helper, the opposite is true. It's that kind of cry from David's heart that says, God, I cannot do this without you. I'm not going to survive without you. I am doomed to failure and to death without you. He says, behold, God is my helper. The Lord is the upholder of my life, or the sustainer of my life. This is a matter of life and death. And David's cry and his prayer to God is a matter of life and death. And then he carries on. He will return the evil to my enemies, and your faithfulness put them to an end. David's confidence in God as his helper, as the sustainer of his life, the one who will uphold him, is that God in his righteousness will return evil to his enemies, the very evil that they are set out they intend for David. What a statement. What a statement. And then David finishes off this psalm with kind of almost a prophetic couple of verses here, a few kind of prophetic statements. With a free will offering, I will sacrifice to you. What does that mean? God, you're going to help me, and when you help me, I'm going to bring my praise and my worship by bringing an offering to you. It's not a requirement. It's not an offering of the law that's required. I'm gonna do it as a free will offering. I will give thanks and praise to your name. I'm gonna worship. I'm gonna praise. Oh God, save me by your name. You read right at the beginning. Now I'm gonna give thanks to your name. And now David declares the name of the God that it is that he's crying out to. I'll give thanks to your name, O Lord. Capital letters. Yahweh. God Almighty. That's the God he's crying out to. Give thanks to your name, O God, for it is good. For he has delivered me from every trouble. And my eye has looked in triumph on my enemies. Past tense. It's done. He's done it. God has saved me. God, my helper, the one I cry out to, is going to save me. He is going to do it. What's the end of the story? How does God answer David's prayer? How does he respond to him? Back to 1 Samuel 23, the end of the story. As Saul and his men were closing in on David and his men to capture them, a messenger came to Saul. Hurry and come, for the Philistines have made a raid against the land. So Saul returned from pursuing after David and went against the Philistines. Therefore that place was called the Rock of Escape. Wow. Just at that right time, when Saul and his men are closing in on David and this chase going on around the mountain, this messenger appears. Who sent the messenger? God. What's the message? Hey, Saul, your battle is not with David. Your battle is with the Philistines who are invading your land. Who caused the Philistines to rise up and suddenly invade the land? I think God probably had a hand in that. That's the solution that God had provided to save David and to answer his prayer in the midst of this battle, when his life was on the line. Do you feel the weight of this psalm?
Yeah.
Do you feel the weight of it? And that when we say God is our helper, the weight of that, the situations where he can come and come and help us. Does this psalm stand alone like that? What do the other psalms say when they refer to God as helper? Hey, there's loads we could look at. Let's look at a few. Psalm 30. I will extol you, O Lord, for you have drawn me up and have not let my foes rejoice over me. My foes, my enemies. O Lord, my God, I cried to you for help, and you have healed me. O Lord, you have brought up my soul from Sheol. You restored me to life from among those who were going down to the pit. You get a sense in Psalm 30 that there's an issue of life and death again, where the writer, it's David, has been lifted up again, has been healed, has been helped by God in this way. How does this end? Verse 8, to you, O Lord, I cry. To the Lord I plead for mercy. What profit is there in my death? If I go down into the pit, will the dust praise you? Will it tell of your faithfulness? Hear, O Lord, and be merciful to me. O Lord, be my helper. Be my helper. It's death again. It's this issue of death. If I die, then the dust that I become won't praise you. But if you save me and rescue me, then I will praise you. The Lord be my helper. What's he going to say? You turned for me my mourning into dancing. That joy and praise that David has again. Psalm 30. Well, Psalm 33, verse 20. Our soul waits for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. The psalmist here. Shield as well. What image does a shield give us? Protection. A shield of protection. He helps us. He protects us in the battle. Psalm 46. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Refuge, that place of refuge we can go to in the midst of the battle. Who do we turn to? It's God. He's our refuge. He's our protection. He's our shield. And he's present. In the battles that we are facing, a very present help in trouble. The presence of God there in the midst of the battle. And you can't really talk about God as a helper without just looking at Psalm 121. Just briefly. I lift my eyes to the hills. From where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord who made heaven and earth. When the Psalms refer to God as helper, you get this weight of the battle of life and death situations and God being our refuge and our strength. And then this glorious reminder, where does our help come from? It comes from Yahweh, God Almighty, the one who made the heavens and the earth, who made all of creation. He's our help. He chooses to help us. He knows us. He knows us. He knows what we are facing. He knows the battles we are facing, and he chooses to help us. The God of all creation chooses to help us. Isn't that great?
Yes.
I thought so. I thought it was great. Hey, but what does the New Testament tell us? What does the New Testament say about God as helper? Hebrews chapter 13. At the end of Hebrews, the writer gives some very practical application for the church. Let brotherly love continue. So unity within the church. I mean, some very practical things in the world in which they live. Do not neglect to show hospitality to strangers, but thereby some have entertained angels unaware. Remember those who are imprisoned as though in prison with them, and those who are mistreated since you are in the body. Let marriage be held in honor among all. Let the marriage bed be undefiled, for God will judge the sexually immoral and adulterous. Keep your life free from the love of money and be content with what you have. For he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. In all these issues that are going on in the world around us, and the writers of the Hebrews remind us that God has declared, I will never leave you nor forsake you. And then the next verse, so we can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. I will not fear. What can man do to me? The Lord is our helper. It's talking to the church, God's people together, you who also are in the body, brotherly love, unity, God's church together, as you face opposition in the world around, as Christians, as believers, as you face this opposition in all this kind of stuff, which seems and sounds very familiar to stuff that we see in the world around us today, we can remind ourselves, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. And we can confidently say, the Lord is our helper. We don't need to fear what's going on in the world around us. The God of all creation, God who created heaven and earth, is our helper. And Hebrews 13 goes on to say, remember your leaders, those who spoke to you the word of God. Consider the outcome of their way of life. Imitate their faith. No pressure, leaders. Elders. Imitate their faith. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday and today forever. Jesus Christ, Son of God who created heaven and earth. He's the same today, offering salvation and forgiveness to all. He's the same forever because he's ruling and reigning on his throne in heaven. One John chapter 2. My little children, I'm writing these things to you so that you may not sin. Okay, so there's an issue of sin here. But if anyone does sin, okay, we all stuck up, haven't we? We all get things wrong. Here's the good news. We have an advocate with the Father. Who is it? Jesus Christ the righteous. Advocate. Maybe translated as helper. What's an advocate do? Pleads our case for us with the Father. It's an issue of sin. Okay, our sin's dealt with on the cross, but as we stuff up, Jesus is there to help us. If there's issues of sin in our lives that need dealing with, we can turn to Jesus. John chapter 15. But when the helper comes, this is Jesus speaking, when the helper comes, okay, there's a helper coming, whom I will send to you from the Father, the Spirit of truth. Okay, the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus talking about the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is our helper who proceeds from the Father. He will bear witness about me. Holy Spirit who dwells within us to help us through the stuff of life, the everyday things of life that we're battling. It's one of his roles. Advocate. Helper. Within us. It's good news. God is our helper. God is our helper. He helped David in his time of need by providing a solution to Saul's encroaching army. Philistines attacked. Saul was taken away. David escaped. The rock of escape. That was the battle that David was facing and needed to turn to God for as his helper. What battles are you facing? What battles, what trials, what testing are you facing? Whether it's work or at school or college or with your neighbours or with family. What battles are you facing? What difficulties are you going through? And are you crying out to God as helper? Do you know him as helper? Are you facing spiritual battles? Ephesians 6 tells us that our fight is against the schemes of the devil. there's a spiritual battle going on in the world as well that we all face. Hey, church, as your favour in this town and community rises, and as your visibility increases, you know, God's blessed you with this building, you should see an impact of that within the community. Hey, you can expect the battles, can't you? The enemy's not going to like it. Oh, that in the church, they're not having any impact. I know you guys are going to have great impact. But with bigger levels, bigger devils. It's the battle. Cry out to God as the one who will help you in the battle. In the battles that you're facing, are you like David? Are you carrying the presence of God into every situation you face? Are you praising Him? Are you choosing to praise Him and give thanks to Him? You know, worship is warfare. The enemy hates it. You're crying out to God, your helper. Psalm 54. I hope that's been helpful in looking at the context of Psalm 54. Now, here's the thing. I just want to take us back to Hebrews 13. And this thing, God said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. We can confidently say, the Lord is my helper. And then verse 7, he goes straight on to say, remember your leaders. Let me take that. Now, if God has chosen and anointed these men, your elders, to lead this church, and if anybody needs to know God as helper, it's your elders, first and foremost. And then you can imitate them, as it says. Okay. Because, you know, nobody really chooses, it's a calling from God. Nobody chooses to be in church leadership. It's a calling from God upon their lives. And as they seek to act as kind of an under shepherds, Jesus, good shepherd, as under shepherds of Jesus, to protect you, to feed you, to look after you, as the flock, then they need to know God as helper. Now, I don't know about you, but as an elder myself, we're not very good at asking people to pray for us. Okay, we are very good at offering to pray for people, but we don't often ask for people to pray for us. So on their behalf, I'm going to ask you, New Life Church, will you pray that your elders will know God as their helper? Is that okay?
Yeah.
And we're going to do that now. Okay, now if you're here for the first time, okay, feel free to sit and watch. If you are here and just visiting from another church, feel free to either join in or pray for your own leaders. Okay, but elders of New Life, do you want to come and stand in the middle? Down the centre aisle. Oh. Because that way, church, would you like to get up? Get round, lay hands on these guys and pray for them that they would know God as their helper in the battles that they face, and just pray for them as a team together. So one after another, just feel free to pray out loud for them.